Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2014, and we need a little more than $100,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2014. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. One of the things we discuss a lot here on the program when it comes to science, especially paleontology, is the fossil record. That's kind of what paleontology is all about. Those who go out and dig up fossils and then look at them and examine them and try and determine the when and the why. Sometimes the when is they speak with great confidence about the when, and the terms there are not just millions of years, but tens, if not hundreds of millions of years. The why is always a question, because you're just dealing with a fossilized skeleton. It's not like you walked into some sort of murder scene with fresh blood all over the place where you can examine the evidence. You're left with very little, sometimes not even the whole skeleton. There's a New Jersey shopping center that very nearby houses a quarry. It's been open for about 100 years, and scientists there believe that they are finding a peculiar kind of dinosaurs that may, they think, answer the why question of the fossil record. Joining us to talk about this fossil bed in New Jersey, Dr. Joel Heck, professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and author of the book, In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. Joel, welcome back.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you one more time.
What kind of creatures, or we should say, what kind of remains do the paleontologists say that they think they're finding there in this quarry in New Jersey?
Well, they think they're finding evidence of dinosaurs that became extinct 65 million years ago in the alleged catastrophe that's supposed to have caused all the dinosaurs to go extinct. There have been over 60 theories as to the reason for the extinction of the dinosaurs, and the one that seems to be most popular these days is the meteorite theory, and that is that North American continent and the world was struck by a massive meteorite that put various particles into the air that either caused a significant increase in the Earth's temperature or a significant decrease. I've seen both conclusions drawn, and that this increase or this decrease in world temperature caused the dinosaurs to become extinct.
So they believe that they're looking at the creatures who actually died in that, I mean, it's a relatively short period given the timescales that they purport to be working with, but over a very dramatically, at least relatively speaking, dramatically quick extinction of most of these land animals.
Yes, there are a lot of dinosaurs that went extinct, a lot of theories to explain their extinction, but they've not found any dinosaurs that they think can be traced to the actual event that supposedly caused the extinction of the dinosaurs. And if I read the article correctly, and I think I do, they're saying these very dinosaurs that died, that show up in this New Jersey graveyard, are dinosaurs that became extinct because of this meteorite explosion.
Do they have evidence for the meteorite theory? I know that's very popular, has been for some decades. Do they have evidence for that particular event?
Well, they have fossils that they date according to some of their assumptions, some of their presuppositions of the great age of the Earth. Fossils, unfortunately, don't come with tags on the bones that indicate the age of the fossils or the date when the animals that these fossils represent, when they died. So there are a lot of assumptions that are involved in this sort of a thing, and those assumptions are only correct to the extent that they can comport with the actual data. And there are lots of problems with their timescale for the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Is it kind of a circular reasoning situation there? I guess what I'm asking is, do they have to explain the sudden and massive extinction of these creatures, and then say, well, the evidence for the cataclysmic event is the sudden extinction of these creatures.
There is some circular reasoning in that regard, but also in terms of dating fossils. I could give you book, chapter, and verse, but I don't have it in front of me right now. But we have a World Book and Encyclopedia set in our own library that says that fossils, in one article, in one of the volumes, it says fossils are dated by the age of the rocks in which you find the fossils. And then you go to another article, and when it comes to how you date the rocks, that next article says that you date the rocks on the basis of the age of the fossils that are found in the rocks. So if that's not circular reasoning, I don't know what is. It's that you can't have it both ways. Either you can have a fixed date for the fossils and then date the rocks on the basis, or have a fixed date for the rocks and then date the fossils on that basis. But you can't use them both in opposite directions. That is truly circular reasoning.
So if we, for a moment, set aside the claims of the paleontologists and the kind of the extreme age of the Earth framework that they often work with, from a biblical perspective, how would you posit an explanation for the sudden extinction of a large number of land animals?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would conclude that the dinosaurs, that most of these dinosaurs that died in the flood, but that there were every major category of dinosaur, and there really were only about, if I remember correctly, about 55, it's far less than 100, something like 55 major species of dinosaurs that have been in existence, have been discovered, and that would have been taken on the Ark. So dinosaurs were taken on the Ark along with every other creature, a pair of dinosaurs. But most people, when they think of dinosaurs, they think of Stegosauruses, Triceratops, and especially the T-Rex, and they're imagining these massive creatures weighing many tons and wreaking havoc on the Ark, and that sounds a little bit ridiculous, but the reality is that the average size of a dinosaur is the size of a full-grown sheep. So they wouldn't have had these huge dinosaurs. And dinosaurs, the ones that we know of, are known to have had a growing spurt after 10 to 15 years of life. So they would have had much smaller versions of these different dinosaurs that were taken on the Ark, Noah and his family. And it would have had to have been young dinosaurs, because you certainly don't want animals that are beyond the age of being able to bear young, because then there would not be any possibility of these dinosaurs being fruitful and multiplying after they come off the Ark. So it would have been young dinosaurs capable of bearing young, and would have been much smaller ones. Dinosaurs are the only creature that we know of that continue to grow throughout their entire lifetime. So a 100-year-old, 200-year-old dinosaur could be quite large. But if you have a 5- or 10-year-old juvenile dinosaur, a male and a female, and you take them on the Ark, they'll be quite small. And typically, according to that average size, even a T-Rex would be much, much smaller than what we typically see in museums and in drawings that various artists make.
Why is it that the paleontologists are very comfortable operating with a theory about a massive extinction due to a collision with the Earth, some celestial body colliding with the Earth and causing this massive extinction? But they reject out of hand the notion of a universal deluge bringing about the same extinction.
Yeah, it's really kind of odd. I'm not sure I know the best answer to that question, because paleontologist probably is the best person to ask that question, and I'd be maybe putting words in their mouths. Their comfort level with rejecting the biblical story of the flood is a little bit odd. Some of these very same scientists, not paleontologists so much, but argue that there was at one time a global flood on the planet Mars, but not one on the planet Earth. And I'll think about that for a moment. We have no evidence that there is a drop of water anywhere on Mars right now. There may have been in the past, but no evidence of it right now. And they hold to a universal flood on Mars, but the Earth, which is whose surface is covered, 70% of it is covered by water, did not have a universal or worldwide flood. That sounds at least strange, to say the least, but they are driven by their presuppositions, by their assumption that the Bible is an archaic book full of myths and legends and fairy tales and can't be trusted to give us reliable history. So that's part of their assumption, which drives them to this rather odd conclusion: no global flood on the Earth, but yes, a global flood on the planet Mars. Strange, to say the least, but they're comfortable with it because it fits the narrative, the evolutionary narrative, that really demands the great age of the Earth. They need a long span of time in order to grant any plausibility to Darwin's theory of evolution, both the origin of life, which Darwin did not write about, but the origin of species and the proliferation of species, which Darwin did write about.
Well, finally, before we let you go, I do understand, with about 30 seconds or here, that the theme of dinosaurs will be prominently featured in next summer's 2015 Society of Creation Conference. With about 30 seconds, tell us a little bit about it, Dr. Heck.
Yes, we are going to bring in some people to talk about the fantastic dinosaur find at Hell Creek, Montana, by an evolutionist named Mary Schweitzer in the early 1990s. She found dinosaur remains of Tyrannosaurus rex showing soft tissue and red blood cells visible under a microscope, as well as a cadaverous odor, a smell from rotting flesh that really shouldn't be the case if these dinosaurs really became extinct 65 million years ago. And so that that find of dinosaur remains is evidence that those dinosaurs died much, much more recently than the 65 million year time frame.
Folks, you can find out more about the 2015 Society of Creation Conference in Ann Arbor, Michigan, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Joel Heck is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, and author of the booklet called In the Beginning God, Creation from God's Perspective. Dr. Heck, thanks for being our guest.
It's my pleasure.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 18th, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute. Two issues to discuss with her. The first one is divorce parties. You can actually book a party. Someone will, you have party planners. They will help plan your divorce party. If you're recently divorced and you want to celebrate it, you can do it. You can go all out, go out to Vegas and have yourself a weekend celebrating your divorce. We'll also talk with her about Pope Francis's reaffirmation of natural marriage and traditional family. Then Pastor Bill Swirla will join us for the last half hour. We'll talk with him about the vocation of the young and the elderly. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bonterre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.